It's time for a Swedish fika with some Swedish fun facts with your host, Pixelpia.
Until this day, I can vividly remember third grade in Sweden when we studied the Vikings. I was fascinated with the mythology, the stories about how the world and the humans were created, and the stories about the gods, the giants, and all other beings. And today, I want to share some of those stories with you. Hejsan, hej. I am Pixelpia, and you are listening to A Swedish Fika. And before I get into the stories, let me just tell you that this is the very shortest possible version of them. If you are interested in hearing more stories in more detail, please leave a comment on my website, aswedishfika.com. Let's start by telling the story of how the Vikings believed that cosmos was created before there was any earth, sky, or anything living. There was Ginnungagap, the gaping abyss of nothing. This was the perfect silence and darkness which lay between the homeland of the elemental fire, Muspelheim, and the homeland of the elemental ice, Niflheim. Frost from Niflheim and billowing flames from Muspelheim crept towards each other and met in Ginnungagap. The fire melted the ice, and from the drops the first giant, Ymir, was created. Ymir reproduced while he slept, and more giants formed from his legs and from the sweats of his armpits. As the frost continued to melt, it also created Audhumla, a cow. She nourished Ymir with her milk, while herself nourished by salt licks in the ice. Her licks slowly uncovered Buri, the first of the Æsir tribe of gods. Buri later on had a son, Bor, who married Bestla, the daughter of the giant Bolthorn. The half-god, half-giant got three children, Odin, who became the chief of the Asagard, and his two brothers, Vili and Ve. Odin and his brother slew Ymir and started to create the world from his corpse. They created oceans from his blood, soil from his skin and muscles, vegetation from his hair, clouds from his brain, and the sky from his skull. The skull was held up by four dwarfs. Eventually, the gods created the first man and the first woman. And that story is up next. So now to the story about how the first human were created. Not long after the world itself was created, Odin was walking along the coast of one of the new lands. With him were two other gods. In some stories, it was his brothers Vili and Ve. In others, they were the obscure figures Hunir and Lodur. The three found two tree trunks. They were shaped like a man and a woman, but they were lifeless and powerless. So the three gods decided to give them life and make them true humans. Odin blew into them the breath of life, while his two companions inspired mental activity, a healthy complexion, and the ability to speak, hear, and see. They dressed them in suitable clothes and named them asked for the man, and the woman was named Embla. Ask and Embla were then given Midgard, the world of the human civilization, for their dwelling place. And they became the father and the mother of the entire human species. So that's how the cosmos was created. But how was the world constructed? Well, there actually was 9 different worlds. Today I'm going to talk about 4 of them. But all the worlds were connected to a giant tree. The name of the tree is Yggdrasil. And Yggdrasil reaches from the under earth through the earth of the livings all the way up to the sky. Sometimes Yggdrasil is described as a large elm, and sometimes it's just described to a giant tree that is green all year around. Up at the top in the branches is Asgard, as we say in Swedish, or Asgard. This is the area where the gods live. Then we have the roots spreading out. One goes to Midgard or Midgård. This is the area where the humans live. One root goes to Utgård, Outgard. This is the land of the giants. And one root goes down to Niflhel, where Hel, the ruler of the dead, lives. Asgard, as I said, is in the crown of Yggdrasil. This, if you could see it, looks very much that the land of the humans. The gods have their different forms. In the Viking mythology, the gods and humans and giants often interacted. And to get from Asgard down to Midgard, where the human lives, they used the bridge Bifrost, which is the Rainbow Bridge. Asgard has also built a huge wall around the whole land to protect themselves against attacks from the giant. In the center of Asgard is a big open field called Idavallen, where the gods are having their meetings to decide the fate of humans, to do their craft work, and to make all kinds of decisions. Midgård, or Midgard, as I said, is the area where the humans live. In Midgård, or Midgard, people have built their homes, but they also built places that reflect the world of the gods, Asgard, with trees, temple, and water sources. Around the world is the great ocean. And in this ocean is a giant snake, the Midgard snake, crawled around the whole world that is like a flat disc at the bottom of the tree Yggdrasil, going all the way around, biting himself in the butt as an edge around the world. Utgard, or Utgård, as I said, is the home of the giant. And this is further away on the other side of this ocean. And it's called the end of the world. If people or gods got themselves too far out on the ocean or into the mountains at the edge of the world, they could get too close to Utgard and get captured. These giants are the main opponents to the gods. But even though they are on unfriendly terms, sometimes you could see marriages between a god and a giant. One of the gods that often turned to Utgard to challenge the giants was Thor and his hammer. But we have also stories where they feast together, the gods and the giants. Within Utgard, the giant's home, is the Well of Wisdom, called Mimer's Well. And that is the place where Odin offered his eye. The last world I want to talk about is Niflhel, the world of the dead. This is a world that it's always winter. The road to Niflhel goes through dark valleys down a river called Jol, which is the border between the living and the dead. There is a bridge over the river called Gjallarbrunn, the Bridge of Gjallar, and Niflhel also have a wall around it. I can't create an episode about Norse mythology without talking about some of the gods. And let's start with Odin, the one-eyed All-Father. Odin has many names and is the god of both war and death. Half of the warriors who die in battle are taken to his hall of Valhalla. He is the one-eyed All-Father who sacrificed his eye in order to see everything that happens in the world. He has two sons, Balder by his first wife Frigg and Thor by Jord. Odin also has several animals. His two ravens, Jugin and Munin, which means thought and memory, who fly around the world and reports back what they see. He has Sleipner, his eight-legged horse that can run through all the worlds, and two wolves, Geri and Friki. He learned the magical art of prophecy from Freya. Sitting on his throne leads Gjalf. With Frigg in the wall of Valhalla, Odin looked out across the whole world. But he wanted to know everything and gain wisdom and knowledge of things hidden from him. This was a desire that drove him to sacrifice himself. He sacrificed his eye in Mimir's well, and he threw himself on his spear Gungnir in a kind of symbolic ritual suicide. He then hanged himself in Yggdrasil, the tree of life, for 9 days and nine nights in order to gain knowledge of other worlds and be able to understand the runes. During his sacrificial actions, he saw visions and received secret wisdom. The magical knowledge he gained made him able to cure sick, calm storms, turn weapons against his attackers, make women fall in love, and render dangerous troll women harmless, often with just a look. Odin was also a shapeshifter, meaning that he could change shape. He could fall into an ecstatic trance and send out his soul, allowing him to adopt the form of another person or animal. While his body lay in trance, he could travel as a bird or a four-legged animal, a fish or a snake, throughout all the worlds and to far-off places. Odin is often portrayed as a charming man who enjoys drinking mead and wine, but he was accused of unmanly behavior when he beat the drum and practiced prophecy, something that was associated with women. The fact that he was a seer and a man provoked disgust in some quarters. Next we have Frigg. Frigg is the queen of Asgard and the highest of the goddesses. Her home is called Fensalir, which means Hall of the Marshlands. She is married to Odin and her father is called Fjorgyn. She is the goddess of motherhood and is herself the mother of Baldur, Hodor and Hermod. Frigg is also the goddess of marriage. Her name comes from the verb Freya, to love. Fridays are named after her, and so Friday is considered the best day to get married on. According to the myth, Frigg wears a large blue cape that symbolizes the sky. Although Frigg was married to the god of wisdom, she was capable of outfoxing him. Odin asked his clever wife for advice on many issues, and although she never made predictions, she knew a lot about the future. Despite being the goddess of marriage, Frigg was unfaithful to Odin on several occasions. Next we have Balder. Balder is the son of Odin and Frigg, and with his friendliness, gentleness, and wisdom, he is loved by everyone in Asgard. He is so attractive that light shines around him. Balder is married to Nanna, and they live in Breidablik. The myths about Balder are about this death and the attempts to bring him back from the underworld. But he does not return until the destruction of the world in Ragnarok. When Balder had a horrible dream that his life was in danger, Frigg demanded an oath from every creature and object in the world that they would not harm Balder. However, she missed out one plant, the mistletoe, because she thought it was small and insignificant. This turned out to be a big mistake. When the gods were having fun shooting arrows at the invisible Balder, things went badly wrong. Treacherous Loki was jealous, so he disguised himself as a woman and discovered from Frigg that the mistletoe had never given an oath not to harm Balder. He had an arrow made from mistletoe, and during the games he gave it to Balder's blind brother Hodor and tricked him into shooting Balder. Balder fell down dead, and this was the most terrible accident ever to hit the gods and people alike. Balder's body was laid out on his boat Ringhorn. When his wife Nanna saw him lying there, she died of grief. The gods laid her next to Balder on the funeral ship, and Odin placed the magical ring Draupnir on Balder's funeral pyre to accompany him to the underworld. Balder's brother Hermod was sent to the underworld to ask the goddess Hel, ruler of the underworld, to return Balder to them. Hermod borrowed Sleipner. It took 9 days to make it through the dark valleys and over the high mountains. Hel promised to let Balder return to Asgard on the condition that all the beings in the nature wept for him. And everyone did, except the giant Tuk, who sat in her cave and refused to shed a tear. This meant that Balder could not return, and Hermod did, however, bring back the ring Draupnir. And of course, we have to talk about Thor, the thunder god. He is also the god of farmers and free people. He's temperamental, with red hair and bushy eyebrows. Thor has three mighty objects that he uses in the fight for orders and against chaos and giants. Mjölnir, the hammer that hits whatever he throws it at. Meginjord, the belt of power that doubles his strength, and a pair of iron gloves. Thor is the son of Odin and Fjörgyn, or Jord, and is married to Sif. He is a big eater and enjoys the honey-based drink mead. As the champion of order in the world, he battles against giants and other monsters. It might be because of his power and strength that he appears in so many stories. One story from the poetic Edda tells of how the giant Thrym stole Thor's hammer Mjölnir and hid it deep underground. And Thor, without his hammer, put the gods and the whole of their world under threat. Loki, usually so sly and treacherous, this time wanted to help. And so he went to Thrym and asked him what he wanted in exchange for the hammer. Thrym asked to marry Freya. Freya said no and was so angry that the whole of Asgard shook. The gods put their heads together to come up with a solution. Heimdall suggested that they should accept the giant's condition, but that Thor should disguise himself in a wedding dress, wear Freya's necklace, Brisingamen, and go there in her place. Now it was Thor's turn to be angry. He did not want to wear women's clothes, but the gods managed to convince him, and Loki went with him as a bridesmaid. They arrived at Jotunheim, the realm of the giants, during a thunderstorm and joined a huge feast with lots of food. Thrym was surprised to see Freya consume an ox, 8 salmon, and a whole barrel of mead. Quick-thinking Loki explained that Freya had been longing for the giant so much that she had not eaten for 8 days. When Thrym then tried to kiss Freya, the giant recoiled from the bride's terrified look. Loki quickly explained that this was because she had not been able to sleep for 8 nights. Then Mjolnir was retrieved from underground and placed in the lap of the bride as a customary gift when getting married. But then Thor revealed himself and crushed the skulls of all the giants with his hammer. The world of gods were saved. And let's talk a little bit about Freya. Freya is a goddess of fertility. She is the daughter of Njord and has a twin brother, Frey. When Freya goes anywhere, she travels in chariot pulled by cats. Freya, with her staff, knows the art of predicting the future, prophecy, and she teaches Odin this magical art. Freya also have a darker side as a goddess of war, and half of the warriors who die in battle go to her sacred meadows of Folkvang. Freya wears a jewelry called Brisingamen that was the most beautiful in the world, and many wanted it for themselves. One myth tells of how Freya was with Odin as his lover. She lived in a house that was both beautiful and strong, and when it was locked, no one could enter without her permission. One day, Freya left her house and saw 4 dwarfs inside a rock in the middle of forging the fantastic necklace. Freya liked the jewelry and the dwarves liked her. She offered gold and silver, but the dwarves were not interested. They were only willing to sell their part if Freya spent 1 night with each of them. And so the deal was struck. After 4 nights, Freya got her necklace, went home, and told no one what had happened. But somehow, the cunning mischief maker Loki found out how Freya got Brisingamen, and also how she paid for it, and he told Odin. Odin asked Loki to take the necklace and bring it to him. Odin sent Loki off to Freya's house, but it was locked. It was cold, and Loki began to freeze, so he transformed himself into a fly and buzzed around to every lock and joint, looking for a way in. Eventually, he found a tiny little hole under the roof and crept into the house, where everyone was asleep. Loki went up to the sleeping Freya, who was wearing the necklace, and he saw that the clasp was around the back of her neck. He changed into a flea and bit her on the cheek, so she woke up and turned over in her bed. Now Loki could get at the clasp. When she fell asleep again, he carefully undid Freya's necklace and took it to Odin. When Freya woke up in the morning to find the necklace gone and the door open, she suspected what had happened and she went to Odin to ask for the necklace back. He did give it back, but only after making her cast a spell cursing 2 mighty kings to battle against each other for all eternity. And let's take a look at Loki. Loki was a trickster who had the ability to change his shape and sex. Although his father was a giant, he was included among the Aesir gods. Loki was represented as the companion of the gods Odin and Thor, helping them with his clever plans, but sometimes causing embarrassment and difficulty for them and himself. He also appeared as the enemy of the gods, entering the banquets uninvited and demanding their drink. He was the principal cause of the death of the god Balder. Loki was bound to a rock as a punishment. So the last story we're going to take a look at today is Ragnarok, or as we say in Sweden, Ragnarök. Someday, whenever the Norns, those instructable spinners of fate, decree it, there shall come a great winter, unlike any other the world has yet seen. This winter shall last for the length of 3 normal winters, with no summer in between. Mankind will become so desperate for food and other necessities of life that all laws and morals will fall away, leaving only the bare struggle for survival. It will be an age of swords and axes. Brothers will slay brother, fathers will slay sons, and sons will slay fathers. The two wolves, Skull and Hati, who have hunted the sun and the moon throughout the sky since the beginning of time, will at last catch their prey. The stars, too, will disappear, leaving nothing but a black void in the heavens. Yggdrasil, the great tree that holds the cosmos together, will tremble, and all the trees and even the mountains will fall to the ground. The chain that has been holding back the monstrous wolf Fenrir will snap, and the beast will run free. Jormungand, the mighty serpent who dwells at the bottom of the ocean and encircles the land, will rise from the depth, spilling the seas over all the earth as he makes landfall. These convulsions will shake the ship Naglfar, free from its moorings. This ship, which is made from the fingernails and toenails of dead men and women, will sail easily over the flooded earth. Its crew will be an army of giants, and its captain will be none other than Loki, the traitor to the gods, who will have broken free from the chains in which the gods have bound him. Fenrir, with fire blazing from his eyes and nostrils, will run across the earth with his lower jaw on the ground and his upper jaw against the top of the sky, devouring everything in his path. Jormungand will spit his venom all over the world, poisoning land, water, and air alike. The doom of the sky will be split, and from the crack shall emerge the fire giants from Muspelheim. Their leader shall be Surt, with a flaming sword brighter than the sun in his hand. As they march across Bifrost, the Rainbow Bridge, to Asgard, the bridge will break and fall behind them. An ominous horn blast will ring out. This will be Heimdall, the divine sentry blowing Gjallarhorn to announce the arrival of the moment the gods have feared. Odin will anxiously consult the head of Mimir, the wisest of all beings, for counsel. The gods will decide to go to battle, even though they know what the prophecies have foretold them concerning the outcome of this clash. They will arm themselves and meet their enemies on the battlefield called Vigrid. When the battle is over and everything is lost, the remains of the world will sink into the sea, and there will be nothing left but a void. Creation will be completely undone, as if it had never happened. And some say that this is the end of the tale and of all tales. But others hold that the new world, green and beautiful, will arise out of the waters. Those were a few of the stories and the gods that fascinated me as a 9-year-old child in Sweden. But there are so much more to tell about Norse mythology. And if you are interested, as I said in the beginning of this episode, you can either go to my website and leave a comment there, or you can go to my Discord server where you can give me suggestion about upcoming episodes. Until next time, as we say in Sweden, hej då!
You can keep up with everything from A Swedish Fika on aswedishfika.com or on Facebook or Instagram as A Swedish Fika. And you can reach Pixelpia at pixelpia@aswedishfika.com.